Hear the extraordinary secrets of how to thrive in a disrupted world.
The old rules of management are not really correct anymore.
So what works?
Making a wise pivot.
Pivot to the future with Will.i.am and Omar Abbosh. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
This is Tech News Briefing. I'm Tanya Bustos, reporting from the newsroom in New York. Coming up, the 5G push continues, but it's slowing down. How competing interests are messing with efforts to auction prime 5G spectrum. That's after these tech headlines. Slack surged in its trading debut on the New York Stock Exchange, the latest technology firm to jump into a hot initial public offering market. The company's stock recently traded at $41.42, well above previous private trading levels, landing at a fully diluted valuation of about $24.9 billion. The stock opened just after noon Thursday at $38.50. The Journal has close coverage of the messaging services stock at WSJ.com. Head there for the very latest. We learned that Apple is asking suppliers to look into shifting final assembly of some products out of China. This comes as trade tensions force Apple to reconsider mixing up its supply chain. The Journal reports that destinations under consideration include Southeast Asia. No decision has been made on such a move, however. Any such move, according to Journal sources, is unlikely to significantly affect the iPhone in the near term, as the company relies on hundreds of thousands of workers available in China to manufacture it. And Renault and its alliance partner Nissan have signed a deal with Alphabet Inc.'s driving tech unit Waymo. This allows both companies to jointly explore driverless car options in their home markets of France and Japan. The deal has limited scope and mirrors dozens of similar deals between big legacy automakers and tech giants like Google parent Alphabet. And according to Renault, the Waymo deal is, quote, designed to bring together the strengths of each party and expand expertise by assessing market opportunities, end quote. Coming up, how the fight over airwave sweet spots is slowing down the big push for 5G.
Hear the extraordinary secrets of how to thrive in a disrupted world.
The old rules of management are not really correct anymore.
So what works?
Making a wise pivot.
Pivot to the future with Will.i.am and Omar Abbosh. Subscribe wherever you get your podcasts.
U.S. wireless companies limited access to some of the nation's most valuable airwaves, these mid-band sweet spots, threatened to slow down big plans to build faster 5G networks. Joining us now in the pod room is Wall Street Journal reporter Sarah Krause. Welcome back.
Thanks for having me.
So first things first, what is so valuable about these sweet spots you write about, so much so that there is all this squabbling for them?
So what we're talking about here is mid-band spectrum, which on its face sounds wonky and hard to grasp. But basically, it is considered a sweet spot for 5G because it is spectrum or airwaves that travel very far and can penetrate hard materials, unlike what has been used in the earliest generations of 5G that have been unrolled in some cities by a couple of the big carriers.
Right.
So those use millimeter wave spectrum, which don't travel as far, which means you need more equipment close to the consumer, which means you need a lot more to get broad coverage because you're paying for more equipment. You need to go through more permitting processes to be able to position the equipment, et cetera. That millimeter wave also has trouble penetrating hard materials, which is another complication in trying to build out nationwide coverage.
Right. So it's a lot of clamoring for access to this, I imagine, from the big carriers.
Yes. And so Sprint and Dish both do have sub-mid-band spectrum. Those are the two companies that do have it. But there is a push more broadly to make more of this available to carriers who want to build out 5G. And so some of the ways that the Federal Communications Commission is trying to do this is to use airwaves, for example, that were reserved for educational usage. So, you know, whether it's a school district that wants a television station or more recently and more modernly, you know, like wireless broadband services. Basically, they're taking spectrum that has been fallow and unused and making it commercially available to carriers that, in theory, would use it to build out their networks,
and
particularly in rural areas.
Just this week, they unveiled a plan Tuesday. Was it to commercialize such airwaves?
Yes,
that right?
Yes. And so schools that currently have their spectrum apparently can keep them. This is more targeting airwaves that are reserved for educational purposes that are not used.
Okay. And commercializing airwaves sounds sticky. The opposition has what to say about such matters?
So a couple of educational groups are concerned that once you license off unused airwaves that were reserved for educational purposes, that they're not there anymore. And does that limit, you know, students' access to, you know, like digital services that they might otherwise enjoy? I think one of the things that FCC has said is, well, this has been reserved for a while. Some of it's unused. We could be using it for other reasons. Or if a school has it and they themselves don't want to use it, they could sell it and make money off of that sale. And so that's sort of how they're trying to tackle it. The other form of the spectrum is spectrum that is used for satellite communications. And that's a whole nother regulatory process that won't be sorted out for a while. But that is sort of another place where this mid-band valuable spectrum lives that carriers, you know, are sort of agitating to get in the market so that they can add it to existing millimeter wave spectrum that they have.
So as we see complicated matters here, as you just stated, these things take time. So will this be a slow burn? How painful a process does this become, and where do the big carriers take it from here?
It is a slow process, particularly when it goes to an auction, which is typically the way the FCC puts spectrum licenses out in the market. It takes time to gather interest and start executing the process and work through different rounds. And there's already a fairly full pipeline of spectrum coming through the works that the FCC is already committed to do. So it is a process that takes some time to work through. And the sort of bigger picture point and why all this matters is mid-band spectrum is something that other countries rolling out 5G networks have already made available. So while we're teeing up the pipeline of this, it's something that is more broadly available in other parts of the world. And when we talk about this like race to 5G and the, you know, sort of industrial implications of that and who profits from the new applications that are formed, that's where the rubber meets the road on this.
Wow. We will leave it at that for now. There's more to come, I'm sure, as there always is. Sarah, thank you so much.
Thank you.
That is it for the Tech News Briefing. Reporting from the newsroom in New York, I'm Tanya Bustos. Thanks for listening.